This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that... that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Peraton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Peraton.
Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Emilio Donnell and Scott Tanfield from Friends of Fulham and the Foffcast. This episode, we're going to talk about the situation with Scott Parker and Fulham and a lot more than that, because it's not just about Scott Parker with Fulham right now. The club has serious issues, in my opinion. We're going to talk about all of them, but it really is going to center on the beginning of it, obviously, talking about the situation with Scott Parker. Will he stay? Will he leave? We're going to talk all about it. And if you're watching live, please do share some questions for Scott and also for Emilio. If you have some questions, please share them with us, because we definitely want your interaction in this episode. It should be interesting, because there's a lot to talk about. But before we do anything else, let me go to my co-host first. Mr. Donnell, how you doing?
Hey, Russ. Hi, Scott. Yeah, I'm okay. Not too bad. Life plows on. It's actually been quite nice not having to think about football, and Fulham in particular. I've been watching the Euros. That's taken my mind off Fulham Football Club, but it's actually been quite welcome not thinking about Fulham. I actually have not given it much thought the last few weeks. I don't really care at the moment. You know, I'm feeling a bit like Scott at the moment, really fed up with the club, embarrassed by the club.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I've got better things to be worrying about than all this nonsense about Fulham Football Club. It's, at the end of the day, it's a club. It's a football game. There's bigger things to be worrying about. I'm actually fed up with the club. So, to be honest, I even forgot that the fixtures are being announced next week. Do I care? Absolutely not. So, sorry, Scott. I'm taking a leaf out of your book for a change. I'm the old grump here today. I'm just fed up with the club, really.
Well, you know, it's funny because, Emilio, I actually feel just like you do. And that's the problem here. And we're going to dive into that, because why do you feel that way? Why are you thinking the way that you're thinking? That's a problem. And you're not the only one that feels that way. Scott, over to you. Your opening thoughts.
Yeah, hi, Russ. I mean, Christ, that's how I'm going, if you're as depressed and miserable as me. I'm all good, Russ. It's good to be on. I haven't been on for a while. Like I say, I mean, I'm kind of, I've got one eye on the Euros, but I've also still got one eye on Fulham and the sixth.
Yep.
Yeah, of course, I'm worried. It's one of those kind of scenarios where I think, here we go again, you know, and it just seems to be another drama that's kind of unfolding. Most people are not bothered, you know, they're a bit peed off with the situation. I'm desperate to find out what's going on because as days or, you know, time ticks past, we've got a season to get on with.
And that's right.
I want to know, same as everyone else, of where we're going to be. So.
Okay, excellent, Scott. All right, so let's not waste any time. Let's start with what's been going on lately. And again, there's a lot of media speculation on the future of Scott Parker. Will he be staying at Fulham? Will he be leaving possibly to Bournemouth? So let's start here. Let's start with a basic question, Emilio. Do you want Scott Parker to leave?
Yeah, I do. I do want him to leave. You know, my views have changed in the last 3 months, to be honest. I was always a bit like you when he got the job. We've obviously, neither of us were inspired when he got the job a couple of years ago. But you accept the decisions by the owners and the club, and you support the club through thick and thin. So, you know, give him his dues. He got us promoted a year ago, albeit, I think, not fortuitously, but I think we underachieved that season. But we got through the playoffs, and we effectively won the head-to-head games in the semi-finals and final. Premier League, let's not talk about it. It's depressing last season, but my views changed as the season progressed. There was that period, December time, January, we were starting to get some good performances, but we kept saying draws aren't enough. We need to convert these draws into 6 wins. And clearly I saw some poor decision-making, lack of tactics, something just wasn't quite right. And at the end of the day, I just saw clearly with the players and that squad on paper, we should have been closer to surviving than we actually were. And to be honest, I just saw those last 6 to 8 games basically changed the tide for me. And for me, I want him to move on, and I want the club to go new direction, new ideas, new philosophy. But Parker's not the only problem that he's pointed out. There's obviously other issues.
Absolutely not.
But I'd like him to move on and allow us to, I don't know, it just feels... Scott Parker's got an identity, and the media were, you know, loving his approach, his style, his dress sense, but the performances weren't there to win games week in, week out. He was stubborn and didn't change things. So for me, he's had plenty of opportunity. And the club has not advanced in the 2 years he's been a leader. We're no better off now than we were 2 years ago. Same position, probably in a worse state, to be honest, with the club in turmoil.
Okay. And Emil, before I go to Scott, I'm going to go back to you, because what convinced me, I was on the feeling that they need to make a change, was after the Leeds match. Because here was an opportunity, I thought, for Fulham to kick on, and they went in the other direction, and they went all the way down. Are the players responsible for that? Absolutely. But doesn't Parker need to take some responsibility for this, or even more than a little responsibility? Why did they go down when they were going against teams that were on their level? So for me, that's where I changed my mind. I'm like, you know what? I don't like the style of play. I don't like the fact that they were not improving. And I've said this as well, Emilio. Name me a player that improved under Scott Parker over the course of the season.
Many regressed, unfortunately. And that's the thing.
Exactly.
You know, I've said it a few minutes ago. That squad on paper, I thought should have stayed up in the Premier League. Now, could Graham Potter have got more out of this team? Could the Southampton manager have got more out of this team? The teams around typically teams around us. That squad on paper was good enough, good experience, good qualities, but it just didn't work out. You know, clearly it didn't work. I don't buy this. Oh, first 4 or 5 games, we were on the back foot. Yeah, there's partly that, but you've had 30 odd games to pick up more than 5-6 victories, and that's a problem. And we weren't brave enough. He wasn't brave enough. That's this. Championship football a season ago, same thing again. We aren't impressed throughout the whole season. We're either winning or we're losing. Not many draws that season, weirdly, but I keep saying losing at Hull, 3-0 at home. Barnsley, 3-0 at home. Barnsley away with it. It's not good enough. Championship, we weren't good enough. Yet we scraped through, grateful for it. It gave us an opportunity in the Premier League and unfortunately didn't grab it. But that squad was good enough to stay in the Premier League, in my opinion. And he's got to take some responsibility as well. We can't just blame Tony Khan for everything. Scott Parker is accountable for a lot that went wrong last season.
Okay. I agree with that. And as I said to our friend of the show, Rob Wilson, the only way I would be okay with him coming back would be if they got rid of Tony Khan, and there was someone in that role to mentor him as a director of football to work with him on a day-to-day basis. That's the only way. But if it's going to be the way that I think it's going to be, then I think he needs to go. He has not changed the style of play. Scott, over to you. I want to get your thoughts because, like I said, for me, it all changed after the Leeds match. But I'll throw this into the mix when it comes to Scott Parker, even in the championship. And I can remember even, I believe you were mentioned this, the fine margins. We never really dominated anyone. That should have been more of a red flag, Scott, that we were playing games, you know, and I've said this to others, not to lose instead of to win, Scott. He's a manager that is conservative. He plays not to lose. I don't like that in my manager.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had an emotional attachment towards Parker. I mean, I didn't mind him as a player. He was quite a hard and defensive type midfielder. He comes to Fulham at the end of his career, called it another payday, you know, as what players do. We got relegated with Parker. He left, come back. Like you're saying, Russ, the championship season for me wasn't great. I thought we, you know, on paper, we had probably one of the better or the best squads within that division.
Totally agree.
We struggled at times to find an identity. We struggled at times to play playing football. Some of the games that you kind of pulled up there, I just thought to myself, we look very average. Players look very average. And I think we sort of bumbled through that season based on quality of squad rather than quality of coaching. All right, okay, yes, probably going to get sort of fingers pointed at the final, final against Brentford and outsmarted them then. Yes, maybe. But we get promoted, and I get that we don't get players in on time. We know on this show, talking about this, that there are deeper problems at the club. But I'm with Emilio. We had, I think, a kind of a better squad than 2019.
Mm.
And we just didn't really produce. I found some of Parker's coaching tactics or overall decisions very odd at times. I found our play very boring. In the Premier League, we played more not to lose when, yes, I get that, but even when you play not to lose, you're still going to get beat by quality in that division 1-2-0. We never kind of played like Leeds did, where we just played with flair and attack teams and, you know, kind of maybe sort of come away from those sort of draws with a 1-0 win or something like that, maybe to pick up them points. You know, after Liverpool, you know, the media were all over the place, you know, how great we were and Scott.
Yep.
And after Liverpool, we just capitulated. And I've never seen, I mean, and you guys must agree with this, a coach never gets away with not getting any wins in 10 and still keeping his job. Now, because of obviously the current climate we was in, I don't know. But it was allowed to happen. And one of the biggest things for me, really, and I'll keep bringing this up, is...
Yep.
The ignorance to play Cavalero, Mitrovic all the time. Now, I know there are issues, whether they were not getting on or not talking, but we talk about fine margins. And when you look at some of the absolute sitters that we missed in games and, you know, point-blank shots and, you know, just that little bit of quality, if Mitro is playing those games and he converts, I don't know, 50% of them,
right,
we probably give ourselves a better chance of staying up. You know, so I look at that and I can't forgive Parker for that because we did have better options. It wasn't that we didn't have a striker at the club, we did. I don't believe he was injured. I do believe it was from the house. And I just look at that and think to myself, I've got no emotional attachment to Scott Parker. I don't think he's got any loyalties to Fulham. Personally, I think the season before, I think he had one eye on the Bournemouth job anyway, Russ. I'm honest with you. It may have been because we got promoted that obviously that went to the wayside. But, you know, the speculation again, we're not deep into our summer, but we've started a summer break where we need to start preparing for the championship. It's going to be tough again.
Yeah.
You know, and we're today still negotiating, talking. And just based on the question, do you want Scott Parker to leave? I just want it done and finished. It's gone too far. I think like what you said, Russ, would you take him back? No, I think we move on. Okay. He's later down the line anyway. If he becomes any good, he's only using Fulham as a stepping stone, and he'll be gone at some point. So he's got to leave.
Okay, and that's going to lead to as we're talking about Parker, and then I'm going to ask you guys, who would you want as a replacement? Because I truly believe that's where this is headed, that he's going to be leaving Fulham. It could be a mutual consent for reasons of, financial. So, but before that, here's something that has always interested me. And Emilio, you and I talked about this, and I want both your views on this, because I think that us as fans, we know what you're getting with Scott Parker. You know, we call it Parker ball, but it's very conservative in nature. And again, there have been positive moments with Scott Parker, so I want to stress this. But I think the media have treated him very well, and I think it might have influenced how people feel about him, because I think he speaks very well, he dresses very well. And there's one thing to be able to talk a good game. The other is to be able to act on it, to have a good game. I don't like his game, Emilio. Yeah. And I think the media, the way that they have treated him, have sheltered many to exactly what's going on at Fulham. Because beyond us, I think his perception is much better than what it really is.
Yeah, and he's always had the sympathy card, hasn't he? There's always this view that Fulham are a poorly run club. You've got a director of football who's a joke in the football world and outside of with all the media. So he's come in, cool dress sense. But his pure, I put in inverted commas, his purest view of playing football won a lot of plaudits. You know, clean, nice approach to football. It is very boring. Let's be very honest. You know, he's very conservative, but he got the sympathy because the media felt he very much had a squad that was, there's lack of funding, lack of direction, lack of ownership from our owners, and he was always in the sympathy vote. He's English as well. I think that obviously buys him a lot of votes, but because he tries to play a purist way of football and our possession rates were quite good, that was seen as to be he was trying to do something that was very pure and in terms of a football style of play. He didn't have the players to play that way, in my opinion. Didn't have any offensive quality. And he didn't have any plan B. Let's look at Roy Hodgson. Compare him to Roy Hodgson many years ago. Roy in his first season, how many 0-0 draws did we get away from home? But he had two philosophies.
He did.
Draws away from home, be negative, be conservative. And he's done that with Crystal Palace. But then he plays in a certain style of football at home. And look how many wins we got under.
Exactly. That's my point, Emilio.
He kept saying, we beat your Brighton, Southampton, Crystal Palace is at home, and we will stay up. I said that 12 months ago, we would have stayed up. But clearly, he only recognises one way of football, the purest way, sideways, backwards, and hope that he will create something out of nothing. That was his philosophy. And that will remain his philosophy. He will not change. And that's why he's got a very positive view with the media. And the media love him.
They do. They do. And I think that also influences how everyone feels. And I'm not saying us Fulham supporters, but the way I hear about him, I think he's been elevated. And Scott, I want to get your opinion on this, because again, I've seen many interviews. I've seen how people talk about him online. And if it's not from Fulham supporters, I feel like they're getting a different view of Scott Parker. What are your thoughts about how the media have portrayed him?
Well, I think even as a player, he was quite highly kind of thought of by the media, wasn't he? Sort of English, prim and proper, dressed well. Always smart, always polite. And I think he's always carried that through. And I think Parker's carried that through as a coach, really. And the media has always, regardless of whatever he's going to do, we're always going to perceive him to be that type of person. People that were taking interviews or knew him or kind of meetings or whatever. All right, Scott, how are you doing? He was quite well known, or he is still quite well known through the actual footballing industry. So I think he gets out as an upper hand. But like I said, if that was anyone else in that position with that run of 10 games, they would have been sacked before that. Mm. And you've got to look at the fact as well that we scored, was it 9 goals at home?
That's insane, Scott.
That is ludicrous, and that has set some kind of record. Now, people and fans will always sort of turn around and say, well, we didn't really get the play, Bobby Decolt over Reed and this and that. But then I'm looking at people like Leeds. All right, fair enough, they've got a world-class coach in there, but Patrick Bamford stepped up. Dallas stepped up. You have players, you know, even Costa that come from the division below as well. Sounds like Cavalero. So players stepped up and they react to a coach and they react to a manager. And I just don't feel that we got the best out of a squad that we had. I really don't. And the media always perceived it, I think, as being a club issue, which I do agree with.
I agree.
I think too much of the leverage was always put on that and not the individual. So I think he gets away with a lot. And I think what Emilio says, he's got one style of play. You know, you knock it about sideways in the hope that something happens. Going forward as a team this season, and even in the championship, I just found is very negative. You know, but I think, unfortunately, we've fallen foul of the media in this situation. And again, nothing against Scott Parker. I've got nothing against him, but I just feel that because he is that type of player, we've succumbed to this media view of him.
Yeah, it's fascinating, Scott and Emilio, when we talk about him, because he's very likable, and I like him as a person. This isn't about him as a person. This is about him as a manager, and I don't like his style, as Emilio keeps saying. This is the thing that I can't get past. Two things. One, the players regressed underneath him, and secondly, there is no other style. It's his style of play. Has it changed, tweaked it? Yes, he's tweaked it, but it's still a reactive style of play. It's conservative. It's never on the front foot, as you said, Scott, because, again, you know, I criticize Leeds, and I have to give Leeds credit, and I didn't think that they could do that the entire season. I was proven wrong by Bielsa. I was totally proven wrong. He proved me wrong because that team, they played on the front foot, and, yes, they gave up goals, but they won more than they lost. They played to win, Scott. Let's go back to that. They played to win.
They did. And coming back to a typical game that I see was that 1-0 loss at home to Wolves. You know, we got done wrong.
Yes.
And for me, I looked at that game and I thought, we never had a better opportunity of actually winning a game and picking up points. And I think it was Nuno at the end of it said, we come here to defend. And I thought, Jesus Christ. And I thought myself, you're coming... For me, it was just too negative. And I get that he's a manager and a coach learning his trade. But for me, you know, too much media speculation in regards to more of the person that he is rather than his coaching skills, unfortunately.
Right. And that's just, you know, I wanted to bring that element into this because, like I said, if you go on social media and you see how some of the Bournemouth supporters are treating this, Emilio, I don't think they understand what they might be getting.
Yeah.
And we know what they're going to be getting.
And I was going to say, sorry to interrupt there. I think for me, you know, I wouldn't say I've ever been his biggest fan, but you want to give managers a chance. I don't like hiring and firing managers. That's not good. That's not good tricks. Not good in terms of our reputation in the media. As far as I'm concerned, I want a stable club that's well run, well managed, and give the manager the tools to be successful. If he'd look to change his approach, be a little bit more dynamic in substitutions, like the Wolves game that Scott mentioned. That was a winnable game and a must-win game, and we only attempted to draw the game at minimum, and yet we got sucker punched. And too many of those moments. If he had tried to change things differently, he gave it the best shot with the resources we had, but we still fell short. I might have been a little bit more sympathetic. So, okay, I saw he's tried to change things. He's brought some of the young players into the mix. He's maybe played Mitrovic a bit more, and it just hasn't worked out. Then fair enough, you could say he's done his best. Maybe give him another opportunity. But for me, I just don't think he did enough to warrant a continued job, you know, role in this club. That's the thing for me. He had reasonable tools at his disposal. He never changed his philosophy and approach. And I don't think we maximised what he had. And I think that's the thing that frustrated me in those last 6 to 8 games. And to Scott mentioning, 9 goals at home all season. Goodness, that's a record, world record probably at this rate.
Yeah.
You know, same thing. How many records have we broken, positive and negative, last season? You know, winning away to Liverpool, positives, but our home form was absolutely atrocious. And that's if we had tried to do more at home, change your setup, change your approach, go full out of attack to win, then, like I said, I might have been a little bit more sympathetic. So, you know what? Give him another few games in the championship and see if we can push on from that. But the way I saw him I think he just lost a will to Will. I think that Wolves, that you saw that look of despair when they scored in the 93rd minute. Do you remember that? The camera went straight on Scott Parker's face. For me, that was a nail in the coffin for me. That was a moment the season was over.
Okay. We didn't admit
it, but that was a moment the season was over. That look in his face. Scott Parker, that was your fault. You should have won that game. You had the tools to win that game, and you were only happy to draw 0-0 at most, and you got sucker punched and got nothing for it. For that, he deserves to go.
Okay. And here's a counter to this, and it's just a long comment, so I'm just going to just highlight Edward Severance's. Parker switched from a defensive three center backs, five strategy, back to a back four. So he did change, Emilio, but it's still a style of play, though.
Yes, exactly. You change make some subtle changes in defense and setup at the back, but our creativity very poor, very still very conservative.
Yep.
It's those adjectives haven't been changed by changing those philosophies.
Yep.
You know, we might have been a little bit more tighter, and there was a period December to March that we were getting plaudits from the fans, and we did close the gap against Newcastle.
Yep.
But we just failed to push on, and it just I think the Leeds game, like you mentioned, and the Wolves, those two games for me, I think. You know, he made mistakes there, and unfortunately, the chance of winning, yep. And we kept regressing. The gap grew again. Yep. And there was not enough games left in the season, so you know it's time for him to move on. He's had his chance. Yep. He's not taken it. He hasn't taken it.
Yeah. Okay. And we've got some great questions, so I'm going to feed some of these in, and please keep your questions coming, Scott. I'm going to go to you on this because this is something that you and I were talking a little bit off air about. Did Parker create cliques of players? They were not a united squad, and there were obvious undercurrents all season. Scott, it seems like that to me. What are your thoughts on this?
No, I mean, you know, we can't speculate. You know, there's rumblings of, you know, kind of unrest behind the scenes in certain players. You know, Parker, typically one of those kind of coaches that if you do fall out with him, there's no coming back. If you undermine him, you dropped. You know, again, so this kind of media kind of hype about him being a certain person that he is, which, you know, he probably well is. But from a footballing coaching point of view, I do think we maybe have had a couple of other issues behind the scenes where balance of players weren't kind of getting on with him as they should be. I think that goes on in all types of clubs, to be honest with you, Russ. I mean, like,
okay.
We can only speculate, but for me personally, I do think he was a kind of a motivator for a certain group of players. But I think behind the scenes, you probably had groups of players that weren't very motivated under him.
Okay, excellent. All right, guys, let's move on and let's ask the question over to you, Emilio. Do you think he's going to go? Do you see that as the outcome here?
Yeah, I think he will. Yeah, I think. You know, don't always believe what the media say, but it's these. There are advanced talks in place. It seems to be suggesting it's becoming more of a mutual agreement. It's going to be resolved very soon. I just hope our club, have got a plan B in place already. Surely they haven't let this trying to work out a solution or outcome without having any replacement in place. So let's see. Are the club that mature in advance? Are they doing that? You'd like to think so. You know, we're in the middle of June. Fixtures about to release next Wednesday. Knowing how the club run wouldn't surprise me. Scott Parker goes before the weekend. He goes on another 2 or 3 week holiday. He comes back with Bournemouth and preseason, and Fulham are searching for a manager still. Then we'll end up with all the scraps that are left in the world. But I don't have faith in this in these owners, and that's also Shahid Khan. We'll talk about him afterwards.
Yep. Oh, we absolutely
entirely. But I'm starting to lose a bit of respect for him as well now, and hence my frustrations tonight. You can hear me in my voice. I'm very angry at the moment.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, Scott, your thoughts. Do you think Parker leaves? And I can see your expression when we were talking about this. I have a feeling that you're really concerned that they don't have a plan B.
No, it was going to be that I said they did. I'm just thinking, what have you been on the scene?
I was hoping they'd have. I don't think they will. I don't think they will.
I think that kind of feeling is hope. I mean, but we all know it's going to go, and I think you've probably kind of summed it up in the most polite way possible. I mean, he's going to go.
Yep.
You know, I think I'm not sure how the club. I mean, the club probably would have known at the end of the season that he's either not happy, you know, with the club or the hierarchy. I mean, that was pointed out well before the season ended. We know comments towards some sort certain person that there was going to be backlash with that. So, I mean, obviously they've had to get together, have talks. I mean, we've ridiculously offered Parker give him a 3-year contract, so he's got 2 years to go. You know, if you work that out, it's been speculated that for him and his backroom staff, you're probably looking at about £3.2 million a year. You know, if Bournemouth do want him, they're going to have to pay the best part of £6 million, I think it's been rumoured to be. They are rumoured not to have that amount of money. Parker wants to leave. Fulham are not going to sack him because they've still got a manager in place at this moment in time.
That's right.
They're letting him walk for nothing. So I think the way that this is panning out, and I think I tweeted this today, that I think there will have to be a mutual agreement here between...
Yeah, I agree with you, Scott.
Bournemouth, if that is the case. And, you know, but the problem we got is that, as Milo quite rightly said, you know, we've got a season to be getting on with. We've got transfers to be dealing with. Now, we've probably got players hanging on the fact that they're staying or going because of a coach. You know, something has to be sorted. I did say a little while ago that he'll be gone within 2 weeks. I didn't think it would be as dry as it would. And the 2 weeks will be leading up to this Friday. So if he goes tomorrow, I'll be spot on. I can honestly see us, if Bournemouth has money, I can honestly see us maybe sort of negotiating with Bournemouth for a player in exchange, maybe.
I know you suggested that to me off air, and again, you know, that's something to consider, Scott, but let me go back to you. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that this is actually more mutual, or do you think that this is all about Parker wanting to leave? Do you think they want him to stay?
I don't think it was mutual at the beginning. I think one party probably started it, and then another one's kind of jumped on the bandwagon, and I think now it's going to be more of a situation where both probably want to part company.
Okay.
It's been an ongoing thing, not just all of a sudden.
Okay. All right. So let's go with the idea, because I think we're all in agreement that we believe this is going to happen, that the club and Parker are going to move on from each other. So, Emilio, I'll start with you. If he does leave, who do you want as a replacement? And if you're watching live, feel free to share your suggestions. I've seen Chris Wilder's name already suggested by some that are commenting, and I've seen other names as well. I'll give you first crack at this. Who would you want?
You know, obviously, I don't want to sound like a politician. There's a lot of typical names out there, you know, keep Brendan out. Eddie Howe, you know, could be a good fit for the club, another good English manager. Tried and tested at Bournemouth, kept them in the Premier League for a few seasons. He would be, seems to be a natural choice, you know, and has different styles of football. So he's a good manager, and we've seen him develop players under Bournemouth. So he seems to be a very obvious choice. You know, I'm looking at other guys. Chris Wilder, I'm not inspired by, I'll be honest with you. It doesn't inspire me. I think maybe it's wrong for me to say that. Maybe he's not the right fit or the profile for the club. I think we're a bigger club than Sheffield United, a more attractive club than Sheffield United. And I worry that under Chris Wilder, we're not going to get those big names or those names that would want to come to play at a very, very prestigious part of London and in the UK. So you want a manager who's got a profile that can attract the right players and bring the young players through the ranks. You know, I've also mentioned Frank Lampard. You know, he won't come to Fulham, but head-to-head. Scott, you say that, but what's his advantage over Scott Parker? Chelsea gave all those youngsters opportunities to play, played a more attacking football. Yes, he's maybe a slightly... Obviously, Chelsea regressed in this season, but he'll be a better choice than Scott Parker. Both young managers, both very similar, started their trade in the Championship. Who would you rather have the two? I'd have Frank Lampard hands down every day. Other choice is, you know, David Wagner. I don't know, but, you know, again, he could be a choice. He's a free agent. You know, he struggled in Schalke, but under Huddersfield, with limited resources, he played a good brand of football. He's available. He could be another option. Not being talked about, but, you know, he maybe divides opinion. But, you know, other than the obvious candidates we talked about, what about someone like that? There's an Italian, you know, there's a couple of Italian managers out there who potentially come in and do a job as well. So let's see. For me, Eddie Howe seems to be the obvious choice, but potentially David Wagner could give us something a little bit different. Good brand of football, did well with Huddersfield.
Okay, very good. I'm going to be sharing some suggestions as well in just a bit, but Scott, I believe I saw you tweet this, and I'd be all for this manager, Nuno. they would have to back up the truck for Nuno, but I would do it, Scott. Would you be down if they went after Nuno? But the question is, would he even consider Fulham?
I think the bigger question to this question, Russ, is who's going to want to come and work under Tony Fulham?
Yeah.
I mean, we can throw names about left, right and centre.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, you know, who is going to come and work under the hierarchy the way that it is?
I think that's a good point.
We'll discuss later about the director of scouting or whatever.
Yes.
I think unless our philosophy changes, I think that pool of managers becomes a lot smaller. You know, yes, I mentioned Nuno the other night on Twitter. You know, if he's not going to Everton and he's not going to Palace, you know, I'd be all out for somebody like that. Chuck money at him. But then, you know, he's a Mendes agent. He does demand a lot of money. You know, he demands a lot of control. And when you look at some of these managers and the way they have to operate, you know, under a current hierarchy, they won't want to come. I mean, you mentioned Howe as well.
Yeah.
He'd be the favourable one, I think, because he likes it down south. We're a bit of an attractive club, you know, where we're based. You know, he can work with some of the younger players. He does get a good work ethic out of them and a little bit more. But again, will he work under Tony Khan? I don't think he will. He likes a little bit more of a free rein there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was looking at, I think Marco Silva is available as well. Yeah. Watford manager. You know, people like him. I'm not a fan of Wilder. I'm in Emilio's over there with that one. I just don't think he's high profile enough at a club like Fulham to attract players. The reason why I did this to Lampard is I think the fact that Fulham fans are not going to see Frank Lampard's black and white army. It's just it's just not going to happen. And I think the negativity over that would probably scupper that as much as it would do if Pulis come to the club, you know?
Okay.
I'll be honest, Russ. I mean, I'm stuck. The obvious candidate, I think, would be Howe. But at this moment, I think there's bigger issues to sort out before any
right.
And does that job.
Right, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, Scott, because let's talk about Tony now. And I'm sure everyone's like, why aren't you talking about Tony? Because I wanted to talk about Parker first. So here's the question I'm going to ask. Will Tony Khan continue as director of football? And what, you know, again, I say that because, again, there are a lot of moving parts here. And I think that he will, but again, will things change? Will they have taken a real look at the whole way they do business and change how they do business with Tony as director of football? I don't know. But I think, Emilio, Scott just brought up a good point. If Tony is the director of football, continues, who's going to want to come here? I'm not, and again, I'm just saying, knowing what's going on, that you're going to have to answer to Tony Khan the way things have been, that could end up being a deterrent to getting someone like an Eddie Howe is Scott's talking about, or Nuno or someone like that. They're going to want their own guy, potentially. They're going to want their own team. They're, you know, again, their backroom staff, yes, but they're going to want assurances that the person who's going to be, as we say over here, shopping for the groceries, that maybe they're going to have a good say in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about as a manager. So let's talk about Tony. What is his role as we talk about a potential new manager? Could that be an issue for Fulham?
I think so. I think it will be an issue. Whoever comes in to replace Scott Parker, if he goes, whilst Tony Khan still remains in situ, he's going to have a problem. Look at Slavisa. Him and Tony Khan were at each other's throats from day one, to be honest. So, you know, same thing there. You know, Slavisa was everyone's fan's favourite. Look, he got shafted and he was at Tony Khan's throats, and, you know, day in, day out. Will he go? The club have to do something, right? They've had two massively failed attempts to stay in the Premier League. They've got promoted twice and they failed to stay in the Premier League twice. And that's for thanks to Tony Khan, essentially. But Mr. Shahid Khan, act like the man you're supposed to be. You're a wealthy man. You've got brains. You've got good advisors. Do something about this club. You've invested a hell of a lot of money in this club. Sort your son out and sort the club out. This club is an embarrassment now. We're a yo-yo club. And Tony Khan said that himself a year ago, if I remember.
He did.
How can you thrive and want to be a successful club when you've got your director of football who's happy to accept us going up and down as long as he's getting the money from parachute payments each year? He's got to go. Let him focus on his wrestling business and let the club regain some respect and credibility in the world of football. Because we're a good club, we're a family run club, good location, good stadium. We can attract good names here. The owner's very wealthy. Just do the sensible thing and let this man run his wrestling business. Otherwise, I'm ashamed. Sometimes I'm ashamed to be a Fulham fan at the moment. You know, I'm really am. The club comes first, admittedly, all the time. We can't carry on being a joke club, and it's something has to change. And maybe the statement from Shahid Khan last week was very much very bland, there wasn't much given away in that statement.
No.
Because obviously, clearly, there's Scott Parker is obviously on his way out, and maybe Tony Khan is, maybe we might see a change there as well. Optimistic. I think you've got to be optimistic. I don't think he'll go, but I think there's something Simon saying, will they accept another third failed attempt to get in the Premier League and stay there? Something has to change.
Yes.
You can't carry on running a business like this.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's funny, Scott, you and I went back and forth, I want to say about a month ago, as I said, I don't think that he would sack his son. But you know what? I'm at the point, and something has to change. If he was a general manager, and that's what his job would be here for, say, a team over here in America, he would be fired by now. There's no question about it. It's a delicate situation because it's his son. But this is going to lead me to ask you, because you and I were talking about this. When we talk about will he be there, I think he will be there. But will his role be different, Scott? Meaning, you and I talked about this. We're going to talk about director of scouting. What is that job, Scott? And how is that going to work with Tony Khan? Does that mean that there's going to be a change? Does that indicate that we're going to see a change in how Tony is involved with Fulham? We don't know that. But I'm curious if you think that Tony's involvement, just speculation, is going to be intermingled with this director of scouting job.
Well, I mean, will Tony continue as director of football in some form? Yes, he's already told us he would die at this club. And he was quite explosive in that, as we know. He's going to be around in some form. He's going to be, if he's not signing off the checks, he's going to be ticking the boxes somewhere along the line. I mean, for me, you're right. I don't think Shad Khan's going to sack him. They can move him.
Yes.
Which I feel they're going to do. I think director of scouting title, which I feel is a kind of an S after the F, kind of fits in between him and sort of Tony, which allows Tony just to sit back a little bit more, not concentrate really more on kind of scouting or kind of analytics side of things, but allows him to carry on with his rest. But I do still feel that he'll probably have the final sign-off on players. I think it just moves him out of the limelight a little bit. He hasn't tweeted since, I think it's Liverpool.
Yeah.
He's been very, very active on social media, as we've seen with his forbidden door and stuff like that. So we can see that dedication within the wrestling franchise at the moment is his main priority. There's kind of content every day. There's media pushes for it every day. And he can't do all of those things. If you're going to be a director of football, you're going to run a club successfully, you effectively need to be at it full-time, possibly on British soil, especially if you employed, a young coach like Scott Parker.
That's right. Time
to do it. And coming back to the question of Scott Parker is probably one of the failings of the owners because of that. But for me, he's still going to be there in some contents. I think the penny's dropped, that I think he's too involved, not too involved in that way, but he's too involved verbally from a social media point of view.
Yeah.
And the backlash that he's been getting from that, because the fan base has, over the last couple of seasons, I think we're probably looking now at 80% more plus people that have turned against Tony simply because of the approach that we've got, the experiences, the mess that we find ourselves in. And I think somebody's kind of had a word and said, look, Tony, you need to kind of step back a little bit now. Yes, you can still be involved, but let footballing people start making the decisions. And I think this is probably where the director of scouting comes in.
Yep.
With, bounded about. People that have been in the game a long time have identified good talent You know, and they go to the director of football and say, can you sign us off? I think that's where we're heading. I think it's a positive. Okay. He's never going to go 100%.
Okay. And, you know, and that's an interesting way, Scott, because in a way, I can understand your point of view. And I definitely understand your point of view. And I keep telling myself this. Listen, I think Tony cares about the club, but I don't think that Tony can do all of these jobs. And like you said, I think that it's okay to be what he is, a promoter for AEW. But
if he was a director of football at any other club, he would not be in that job now.
Right. Exactly, Scott. And that's my point. If you had these types of failings, we're talking about relegation. There's no way. Like I said, in any job over here, there's no way. And the thing about it is that as he's basically Vince McMahon, can Vince McMahon run the New England Patriots? The answer is no. He's running the WWE. And you're asking someone on that level to be the director of football for Fulham Football Club. I think it's time that he passes the reins on to someone. And maybe that's what hopefully we're going to see with the director of scouting. What are your thoughts about that, Emilio? Do you think we're kind of headed there, that they are going to have some change, but that Tony will still be involved?
Yeah, I think Tony will always still be involved at the club. The scouting role, it's just like I agree with Scott, it's just literally just another adjective. You know, Tony Khan, let's be honest, Tony Khan's a control freak. You know, just the way, you know, see the way he conducts himself in the media, you know, I've seen a few of the clips on this wrestling business. Yep. When he's full of football. He's a control freak. And that's the reason why he doesn't want to let go. He wants to control everything. He wants Absolutely. To be here and everywhere. And
it's about control, Emilio. You're right.
He wants to control. He doesn't want to relinquish that control. And it will hurt him. You know, someone of that ilk who thinks it's very much, you know, this be-all, end-all senior public eye figure in the world of sport, you know, to then actually hand the reins back to somebody else. He'll see that as failure. So to Scott's point, if anything, he will either look to change the scope of his role or discreetly still have some involvement, albeit not as directly as he has been past. So that's where the scouting role may take a lot of responsibilities away from him, and he has less decision-making. But I think, will he make the final decision? Probably ultimately, yes. But as long as we've got somebody more exclusively focused, then that's what we need. We need some direction in this club. What's our strategy? That's the thing. We've got no strategy, this club. And Shahid Khan's statement again last week. Well, we're going to do our best to get promoted. I want to know what we do in the next 5 years. Talk about your recruitment. Talk about your youth squad. Stop talking about the same things. You've told me nothing new, Shahid Khan. You're talking a load of rubbish. I almost said the wrong word there, but you're talking a load of nonsense, to be honest. And be more. Tell us, fans, we need to be confident that you've got our best interest at heart rather than just looking at it season by season. Do what you can to get promoted and do what you can to stay up. You've given us no hope that you've got a vision of where this club is going to go. Where do you want this club to go? Premier League, Europa League, and fight like we did under Roy Hodgson and under Martin Yol, for example. We got into that top six, top seven place. Why can't we do that again? You know, it's not inconceivable. But where's our strategy? It's all about renew your season tickets. We'll do our best to get promoted. We care about you. We've got a lot to look forward to. That doesn't tell me nothing. Anyone can say that. Where is your vision of this club in 5 years' time? Where do you want to take this club in 5 years' time? If you've got no ambition, Shard, sell up and let's get somebody else in.
Okay, excellent stuff. And that's going to lead us coming up next to really go into talking about the Shahid Khan statement. And could it affect fans renewing their season tickets? You know, and again, it possibly could. We're going to talk about that coming up next.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Commission-free trading is the norm, but True Value is more than a price tag. It's a team of traders to answer any question, a personalized education, and thinkorswim's charting capabilities. Value is becoming smarter with every trade. TD Ameritrade, where smart investors get smarter.
It's the simple things that are oh so marvelous. With rich, creamy, non-dairy Planet Oat oat milk. Like coffee. The first cup mixed with a little Planet Oat. That's pretty marvelous. Or Planet Oat in a bowl of cereal. Sharing a laugh on Saturday morning. But don't forget about Mom's Planet Oat mac and cheese. It's so ooey gooey. Yep, there's so many moments that are more marvelous with Planet Oat. Rich, creamy, non-dairy oat milk. Oh, what a planet.
Okay, Amelia, you led us here. So let's now talk about the statement. And when I saw this, I think now I understand why the statement was what it was. And as Scott already mentioned, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that there were things going on behind the scenes with Parker. So they had to be generic. And I think that they just intended to put something out as they were talking about renewing your season tickets, right? So that's what they ended up doing. But here's the thing that I want to get your thoughts. I want to get your thoughts on this. And you mentioned this to me. You are still considering if you should renew your season tickets. Mm-hmm. And I go back and I'm going to ask this question to everyone listening. If you're a season ticket holder and you're thinking about it, why are you thinking about it? That's a problem. It's a problem that longtime supporters are thinking about renewing season tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. So my frustration is where was, you know, put Tony Khan aside. You know, every time he comes on social media about Fulham Football Club, it's clearly only when we're winning games. So, but the owner, where were your statements during the season? I didn't see enough statements from you when things were chips were down, the team was struggling. Where was that optimism, hope you were giving fans? I didn't see enough of that last season when things were really going against us. And that's when I want an owner, a chairman, to be there communicating with the fans, engaging with the fans. Do I want to renew my season ticket? Well, at the moment, I'm struggling to see whether I actually want to renew. The only drive for me wanting to renew my season ticket is whether I can stay with the mates around where I sit so I don't lose my seat. That's the only reason why I'm determined to go. If those other guys aren't renewing their tickets, neither am I. I'm going to stay away at the club and decide to come back. I've got bigger things to be worrying about. I've supported this club for 41 years now, and this is the first time I've actually dwelled on renewing my season ticket. I would have done it by now. I haven't even logged in to know how much the cost of the ticket is. That tells you the situation. I'm not interested at the moment. Fulham Football Club is not top of my priority. So the question is, I wasn't happy with that statement. Told me nothing. There's no strategy in that statement either. Shahid Khan, you just want to sign up for season tickets and hope for the best. You're going to lose a lot of fans next season, including those who've been supporting the club like myself for 40-odd years. I probably will renew, but they'll be very reluctant. I won't be renewing with passion like I normally do year on, year out.
Okay. Scott, over to you. Do you think that the statement, and again, I think I understand why they did it the way they did it, but do you think it actually backfired on them? And again, I understand why they did it because, again, they were getting ready to have fans renew their season tickets, but I'm starting to see online a lot of outrage and fans thinking that they might not renew. So did that statement backfire on them?
Possibly, but I don't think it's just a statement. I just think it's the state of the club over the last couple of seasons, and the media picked up quite well there, that I don't think I've seen this club have so much lack of direction under owners. Shad is a billionaire. He's worth his what, 8 billion? Is it something like that? He put him in the Premier League. I think he's one of the fourth richest owners. And it's not a kind of, I don't think, an unrealistic kind of dream or idea to have Fulham as an established Premier League club, you know, in London. Again, fighting for Europe. What are the Khan's ambition? Is it to build property around Fulham, like done with Jackson Jaguars, and have that worth multi-billions, and the sporting venue not do very well? Because that's going to drive me away as a fan. I come for football. I don't come for a shiny new stadium or, you know, the kind of pre-match kind of, you know, wall of this kind of thing, you know? So I think a lot of fans have been building this up over the seasons in regards to direction of the club. Obviously, the problem that we've got with, you know, the way things are run, we are very detached from a club that we used to be. I've always said that. Don't get me wrong, football moves on. You know, become a business without the billionaire owners, we'd probably be back down in the old third division again. But I think there's an element of expectation you need to keep there. You need to keep fans on side. They are your blood, you know, and you need to interact with them. I mean, yes, the statement was very blunt. I thought it was probably a little bit rushed. And Shad Khan probably didn't even write it, if I'm perfectly honest. Yes, we've got season tickets coming out. I, for me, are going to look on the positive side of this. And
really?
Like, yeah. I'm going to say, and I said this at the beginning, I think they released that statement because they had to release something.
Yes, I agree with that.
In the past, they've spoken far too much about what needs doing. And sometimes actions are greater than words. Sometimes by saying nothing, just getting on with it and admitting your faults and saying, right, things need to change here, probably serves you a little bit better. I'm just hoping that obviously that is the case. They've realised there's a problem. They've kept it short and sweet. And the answers that we're looking for will be obviously more clearer before the start. Touch wood. So that's, you know, that's my thing. But I've always said with Shad Khan, I know he was more under fired. He was more involved with the club. But the one thing that he always did well is that he always employed footballing people. He always brought the best people in around him to make the decisions. And I feel that we don't do that. And this just came back to Shad Khan as an owner. Like Emilio was saying, you either got to show some intent or involvement with it, or, you know, sell it to somebody that is. Because I think we're going down this slippery road where starting to piss fans off now. They're falling out of love, not with the club, but the ideology of how it's being run. And this could be quite damaging for owners. So I think something, you know, needs to be
okay.
Sorry. Go on.
I certainly understand that. I'm going to share some comments. We have some fans that have renewed. So I bought my tickets today with both my young adult tickets. Will go whatever division we're in. We are full, right? Certainly understand that. I've got.
Yeah, I've supported the club for 41 years, all through the divisions. Went to Torquay United when we lost 2-1 away, when we were 91st in the league. So I've been there, done it, seen it as well, Roy. It's not just yourself, but at the moment, this club has got no strategy, no identity at the moment. I'm getting frustrated with the direction or lack of direction of this club. And to be honest, you know, do I give them my money or do I rather invest it elsewhere and do something else with it? At the moment, that's why I'm struggling to show motivation to do anything with the club. Like I said, I can't even remember my password to log into the system to renew my ticket. That's how bad it is.
That's if it works, Amelia.
Huh?
That's if it works.
Yeah, I hope I get locked out after three attempts and it forces me not to renew, maybe. But at the moment,
Yep, I've got another comment from Dan Mason. I'm renewing my ticket, statement or not. It's full, my team forever. And I drive from Bournemouth for all games and will continue. Yes, I'm not, but I can't help it. And listen, I certainly understand that. Mm-hmm. I want to share this question, and please keep the questions coming because I think there were some very good ones. Here's one that I find very interesting. This is from Steve Reynolds. It's all about a lack of understanding about the club. I could buy an NFL team, but I would not understand the ethos of the team. Scott, I think that kind of explains what a lot of people are feeling when it comes to the cons.
Yeah, but I think if you invest in anything, you know, whether you invest in a car, a house, or whatever it is, you've got to have some added interest in the item that you're investing in. You can't buy something and expect it to kind of make money or to be an identity without studying the history. I mean, the amount of times that the owners have quoted on something and they've got the history of Fulham wrong is embarrassing. I know that we move on. I know we have to do things differently. Fulham has to change to become a club, obviously, of, you know, of some kind of size. But, you know, it's, yeah, you're right. We can all invest in something if we had the money. But you've got to learn that. You're not going to go and buy a Ferrari and then you've got to learn to drive it. It's one of those kinds.
Right, exactly. I totally agree with that.
And I think when it comes to Fulham, I think the identity and everything else, strategy, also a plan of moving forward, you know, hasn't been thought about very clearly and really shared much with the fans to keep them on side. So,
I totally agree. And Emilio, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's everything we've said at the moment. It's business is business at the end of the day. You know, I always keep getting told sometimes you make decisions that work not because it's you don't put sympathy in the way. You know, sometimes the club, we love the club, but do the Sharks? I think the Khans love the club.
What do they do?
You know, do they love the club enough, or is it more the fact that they're just not in a position where they understand our business, our model, our fans, our history? You don't buy that. You can't. Money doesn't buy history. Money doesn't buy that passion in the club. You have to live and breathe a club to love it. You know, just maybe we were blessed with Alfie for so many years. That's what we see an owner to be. You know, somebody look at the Leicester City owner. That's exactly what we would like to see our Fulham owners be. And they've got the we've got the ability for them to be that. They're wealthier than the Leicester owners. But they've got the model right. They've got the right strategy, the right vision. They engage with the fans. There's simple things the Khans can do to resurrect the situation, yeah, improve it. I don't think it'll take a lot. The money does a lot of talking, clearly. But engage with the fans. Be more, yep, involved with the fans. Just some simple changes. And believe you me, it will make a difference, not just with our fans in this country, but globally as a brand. They could do a lot wrong just to get some PR exit, PR.
Yep.
Bend and actually just look at some simple facts here, because Leicester's owners have done something clearly right, and more important, they engage with the players and the fans. The Khans, you can do that. Listen to us, watch our show tonight. Just,
yeah,
think about the fans. They're your most precious asset.
Absolutely. And Scott, this goes along with what we're talking about. Mm. Asking the question from Steve Turner, Russ, Emilio, Scott, would you agree that, yeah, Shahid and Tony are absentee landlords? This goes to reaching out to us, the supporters, and, you know, not just like you mentioned, you know, yes, they might get history wrong, but make more of an effort to be more involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think when we look at, I mean, even with the Riverside stand now, I mean, it's probably the most pictured Riverside stand that we've ever seen. I mean, that's down, has taken interest, but we've had more direction in regards to that stand and Fulham. than we've had since the Khans have taken over Fulham Football Club. And I think there needs to be an adequate balance there of, yes, we all don't want Fulham to be this little quaint Fulham by the river with the cottage in the corner. We, you know, we want this stadium to compete and everything else. But at the same time, you know, we need some leadership with the club as to what direction we're going in. You know, we want this great stadium or whatever it's going to be to play in the Europa League or wherever we're going, not just to bounce between divisions and, you know, have the odd sort of statement thrown about every single season. It's disconnect is too much there for me, to be honest with you, Russ, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with it. I mean, I don't doubt that both Tony and Shad love the club and it's their best interests at heart, but I think they need to have a deeper look at it and think that if they're going to get any success out of Fulham Football Club, there needs to be more involvement, especially with connectivity to the vans. You know, and I think that side of it needs to change. Really do.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because I got a lot of stick when I was a part of a video conference with Shah Khan, and Shah Khan came on Cottage Talk. But you know what? I'm not even saying coming on Cottage Talk. Go on the Fofcast. Go on some of the other podcasts. Engage with the fans when you're at Craven Cottage. Really get to know them. Apparently, they did this with the Jaguars. I think it might be time to do that again, Scott, with the Fulham supporters. Get back involved, because I think that can go a long way, because I think the fans want to know that they care. You can invest all the money, but they want to know that you're invested personally. Would that be fair to say?
It's fair to say, but even if you can't do it directly, put the people in place that can.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt by having somebody, I mean, call them the director and fans or something.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Fan engagement director or something like that, that's just there at games or whatever, that sit, maybe meetings other than Alistair McIntosh and stuff like that. Someone's a little bit of a higher hierarchy that gives fans answers and just a bit more reassurance of a direction of where a club's going. You know, I do think that's important. I really do.
Okay. What are your thoughts about that, Emilio? I was thinking about this, you know, as we were talking about it, the fact that I was actually on this video with Shah Khan and that I actually met him with a bunch of supporters in Jacksonville that second season, that preseason, and he engaged well with the fans. Why has there not been more of that now? Maybe it's time to do that again.
You know, a lot of people say COVID has a lot to do with that, but, you know, there's other technology, there's other ways to engage with the fans. There's technology means, there's more communications, there's more give the fans something to cheer about. You know, last season we didn't have much to cheer about last season, did we? And You know, I would have liked to have seen the owners there just supporting us or giving us a vote of confidence or giving us a bit of a boost. But clearly they decided to stay away from any form of communications, and that just angst the fans even further. So, yes, you can blame COVID that there was no fans at the games, stadiums were closed and so forth and so forth. But there are other ways of just communicating with the fans. I just want our owners to be more engaged, communicate more, go and hire some PR specialists and do something about it. Because these are simple things they can remedy to address the problem. But at the moment, it just feels they're over there in America, you know, not making money because the business is actually loss-making at the moment. So, but there's a lot you can do to change the situation. It's a business is a business. You want to be successful, then you've got to change things. Surely they can see that. And the fans are getting frustrated like myself, and something has to change. You know, I want the Fulham that I saw a few seasons ago under Mohamed Al-Fayed. I've not seen that, unfortunately, under the Khans. I've not seen that passion, that desire, that commitment like our former own. I want to bring that back into our club. And some fans said, mind what you wish for. I get that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't take a lot to change your behaviours to give some opportunity to resurrect a bit of loyalty and faith of the fans. We deserve a lot more, as well. So, you know, we've got wealthy owners. They've given us the opportunity with nice new stand. Two Premier League seasons, albeit they're both failures, but you know, give us something more to cheer about, guys. And I think that's what we're missing at the moment. I feel our club, its ethos and its values are completely shot to pieces under these owners. And it's getting worse. That's the thing. It's getting worse.
Well, I got my friend Chris here, who's not a Fulham supporter. The owners need to do something to convince Emilio to renew his season ticket. So again, I certainly understand that. And going back to our discussion here, you know, I just think that it could go a long way if they really engage with the supporters. They've done it before. They can do it again. Or as Scott said, get people in place that would engage more with their fan base, with their customers. I hate to go there, but we are the customers. We are the lifeblood. You guys right there, you guys are there buying season tickets. We're all in this. But it would be nice if they were, like you said, the best way that I can put this, Scott, and I know many fans are going to agree with this statement, I want Fulham to be a priority for the cons. Why do I feel at times that it's number three, Scott? That AEW and the Jaguars are one and two and Fulham are third. That is what irks me, Scott.
Yeah, I do get that impression. I understand that from a wrestling point of view, and I know fans go mad when they see Tony jumping around in rings and you know, sort of going on about his forbidden door and stuff like that. But AEW, and he's I don't think, you know, he's live as well. It is play acting, it is TV, it's a lot of social media emphasis on it to promote it. And but I think the problem is there that when fans feel like that, and you know, we're number three, and I'm sure the Jackson Jaguars feel that way as well sometimes. I've seen it's like they're falling behind the wrestling venture. But when you're generally getting somebody concentrating on that every single day, and you're not getting updates about your club that you love, that you've supported for your gym, whatever, blah blah blah, then fans are going to generally feel like that. But each sporting venture is going to be as important, and that's the thing. If Tony's going to concentrate on AEW, All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then fair enough, go off and do that. Bring somebody in to promote Fulham a little bit more, the Jackson Jaguars. You've got the ability and you've got the money to put people in place. Like Fired, then bring people in to do the job properly.
You don't exactly
full time if you do that. Concentrate on what you want to do. But I feel, they need to bring that structure in and start spreading it out a little bit more. Because I say, once the fans, then you've got a problem.
Right. And listen, like I said, I've met Shai Khan. I've talked to him, and he seems to, and this is a while back, we're going 2015. I think he generally does care. I know that there are fans that don't. The problem is that I think we need to see it again, and it's been a long time. We need to see a little bit more from him, and we need to see if they're not going to be there directly, as we're all talking about, hire the people to really get more involved with Fulham Football Club, show more engagement. And I think that would go a long way, because it does feel like number three on the depth chart. And that's not good enough for me. And it's not good enough for any of us. And it actually after meeting Mr. Khan, I truly believe that Fulham were a priority. And I think that they are. We're just not seeing it to the level that I think it needs to be at. All right, guys.
And again, there's one of the other things I was going to add as well. We're a million miles away from seeing 13 consecutive years in the Premier League, Europa final, European football, FA Cup semi-final. Look under Mohamed Al-Fayed, what we achieved. Yeah. Okay, we struggled at times. Don't get me wrong. Some bad decision-making at times. But we were blessed for 13 consecutive seasons in the Premier League and reasonable cup success. You know, we're a million miles away from that at the moment. It can't be further from the way we were a handful of years ago under Mohamed Al-Fayed. So he's got, like Scott says, Shahid Khan's got the money, make some changes, invest in the club, engage with the fans, and you can take this club back to the way it belongs in the Premier League and an established team. But at the moment, unless changes are made, we're a million miles away from that. Sorry, Shahid Khan, you're a million miles away from it. And you're totally detached from reality. That's the thing. You've got no clue how your fans are thinking at the moment.
Yeah, and I just shared this comment from Freya Page. You could still be passionate about your business and want it to be successful. And I agree with that. I just think that we just need to see more engagement. And I think that's what we're all in agreement on that. And I don't think we're asking a lot. I think we're just asking for them to show us that Fulham's a priority. And that would go a long way with all of us. Okay. Guys, been a great show. I do think that we need to wrap this up. We could probably go for another 3 hours talking about all this stuff. But Emilio, I'll go to you first. Final thoughts before we wrap up.
No, it's been a good show. It's good to have Scott again. Apologies if I'm sounding frustrated and angry tonight, but I think I'm entitled to, you know, after spoiling so many years, you know, I'm allowed my opinion. And so I probably will renew my season ticket, but it won't be with confidence. I'll do it reluctantly. And the reason is if the other guys around me do theirs, I'll renew mine. If they don't do theirs, I won't renew mine. My worry is I don't want to lose my seat amongst the people I sit week in, week out. But those other fans are equally speculating and debating whether to renew. So it's not just me. It's not just me.
Okay, excellent. Scott, before we go, I want to get your analysis of what we talked about. Did we hit all the major points? Is there anything we missed here?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it may be perceived as being another sort of negative show. Most of the podcasts are at this moment, but I feel it's a position that we're in. We've suffered another relegation. We've just watched Brentford overtake us. you know, we've watched, you know, we've watched another dilution of a coach within the club, bad decisions. And it's getting very frustrating. And the thing is, you know, this can't continue to go along, you know, if Khan's want a successful football club. You know, there needs to be direction. I think there needs to be a little bit more understanding of where this club is going. And I feel that there's space to bring probably footballing people in now to make those decisions to make this club successful. You know, everyone's frustrated with Fulham at the minute. Don't get me wrong, anyone that supported Fulham over the years has always been frustrated. That's one of the joys of supporting this club, whether we've got it in our owners or not. And I get that's the ride, but I don't personally feel we need to be in this situation with the owners that we've got, and we can be very successful. And I think it's time for us to be successful. We really do. Nice. But it takes a bit of vision from the owners, a bit of understanding, and a bit of acceptance, really, to say that this needs to change. We've got a predicament coming up in this summer of we don't know where we're going. We don't know what players are going to be there, who's coming in. We don't even know who the coach is going to be. You know, and Fulham fans are stressed. They really are. And I think that this show's capitalised on that, really. And looking at Emilio, who's normally, for me, quite a level-headed guy, he's pissed off.
Very.
And I think that's the sentiments of most fans at the moment. I really do. But I would like, Russ, it's been a really good show.
Yeah, listen, you know, again, I would rather us have a show where we could talk about some positivity, but there's nothing positive really to talk about, except for the only positive thing that we could talk about, Scott, is our love for Fulham Football Club.
We're
all in it, and we just wanted to get back to where we wanted to be. And what, you know, and again, you've already said this, Scott, and I'm, you know, I'll take it to the next level on this. When you hear the term yo-yo club, the first time I heard it, it didn't bother me. It really annoys me now. because that's who we are, Scott. We are a yo-yo club.
Yeah, and the one problem you get with that is that when, you know, our director of football comes out
and says it,
we would have killed to be a yo-yo club. I think it's even worse now, to be honest with you, because it was a comment at the time. It's actually become factual now. And some fans will see that as deliberate. They really will.
Good point. All right. Guys, fantastic show. We do need to wrap this up. And I want to thank everyone who commented. We had a ton of people comment, and we had a very good size live audience, which is fantastic considering that there's a match going on between the Netherlands and Austria. And we've had a lot of people watching live. So thank you, everyone. And we're going to be back soon. But I want to thank my very special guest. I'm going to say Scott Tanfield, co-host, extraordinaire, Emilio Danella. I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.